As we remember the 45 years of our broadcast, we are grateful to you who have prayed for us, told others about us, and gave as God leads. Now let's hear from my dad on Psalm 96, which first aired in 2017 on his 96th birthday. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour, and this is a special, special day, because tomorrow I'm going to be 96 years old, and I've never been 96 years old before, so it's really a special day. And so I'm going to preach from the 97th and 96th Psalm and talk about walking with the Lord. But before I do that, I want to share some of the letters that we get. We get so many nice letters, and I just thank you for writing. I hope more of you will write. Send a gift if you can. We got expenses, got to pay. And if you want to keep us on the air, we got to have your help, prayers and gifts. But here's some of the letters. Here's a letter I really got in. Listen to this. Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm an 85-year-old cowgirl. My horse is 37 years old. Way back in 1953, I told God I would give up horses. I remember just then I picked up a book. I opened it up, and in bold black print it said, "Keep your horses, but write on them, holiness to the Lord." Do you suppose that's why my horse is still alive? Well, I can't help you, because all I know is about sheep. And all I know about horses is that they kick you. So you'll have to go to some vet or something to talk about that. Here's one, Des Moines, Iowa. And she says, "What happened to the Lord that pierced Jesus? What happened to the sword that pierced Jesus, our Lord?" Well, I'm sorry I can't help you. I wasn't there. So I just really don't know. And I am old. I had a little boy in Sunday school. He asked me if I was on Noah's Ark. And I said, "No, I wasn't." And he says, "Well, how come he didn't drown then?" So I'm old. Now I'm going to be 96 tomorrow. But no, I can't help you with the sword. Here is a letter that really touched my heart. It's a beautiful, beautiful letter. Council Bluffs, Iowa. "I tune you in every Sunday morning. You bring something to me almost every time to help me. This Sunday, you read a letter from a lady dying with cancer. She thanked cancer for bringing Jesus to her. My wife has terminal lung cancer. I've been very upset and angry that this is happening to her. She's been a good person all her life. I sat there and thought about what you read about the lady thanking God for cancer, thanking cancer, and my anger was gone away. God bless you." And that's exactly, that lady was exactly right. Because if she hadn't had that cancer, she would have gone on her way and never come to Jesus. But cancer put her down, and she was looking up, and she sees God, and she prays to God, and her soul is saved. And what did Jesus say? "Don't worry about what people can do, what the devil can do to your body. Be watch out for the spirit and the soul that lasts forever." And she's with the Lord today, and thank God for cancer. And this dear brother sees it and gives praise to God too. Isn't that beautiful? And then one more. "Thank you for being our guide to heaven's gates. Praise the Lord." And the way we do is carrying the gospel, and we do it because you help us. So I hope that you'll write. We'll give you the address at the close of the service. But I want to talk about my birthday. God wills, tomorrow I'll reach my 96th birthday. And that's following tradition then. I preach from the 96th Psalm. And here's the 96th Psalm, and David is praising God, and he's admonishing everybody to praise God, to worship and glorify God. Listen to verses 7, 8, and 9. "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear him, all the earth." So I want to look at three ways we can glorify God. We can glorify God first when we praise His name. And well, we should, because God is good. James tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights. James 1:17. And I know God has been good to me. He gave me a godly mother. He saved my soul. He gave me a wonderful wife, Beulah, 59 and a half years. He gave me a wonderful family. He gave me 4 wonderful children, Sharon, Daniel, Patty, Michael, and their spouses, all who know the Lord and love the Lord. He gave me 12 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren. Gave me a wonderful church family. He gave me a wonderful family from the Christian Worship Hour all over the world and many, many friends. And how can you top that? God has been so good, but the greatest gift of all that He's given me is Jesus Christ. Beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And what more can I say? When St. Paul was given a glimpse of heaven, he wrote it this way. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. The same thing holds true about Jesus. There's absolutely no way that you can put into words, because he is so beautiful and so wonderful and so loving and so kind. And after 95 years, I can tell you, Jesus is wonderful. And he just leaves one speechless. Someone has written about Jesus. There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has been their name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yes, he is loving and kind. And Matthew tells us about how John the Baptist, we see the loving kindness of John in the death of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was beheaded, we're told in Matthew 14:12, they took away his body and buried it. And in that record, it's strange that they were so quiet, they didn't say anything about this sorrow. But they says, and then it goes on and it says, right, Matthew says, we went and told Jesus. It seemed the only thing to do. For 86 years, I've gone to Jesus. He's always been there. And this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is put out, for instance, in the Crusaders hymn. And the Crusaders were called, tradition has it that it was sung by the 12th century German Crusaders, and that the children used to sing it and listen to the words they sang. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. But fair are the meadows, fair are the woodlands, robed in the gold blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes a wonderful heart to sing. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God, Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. Yes, we praise the name. And when we praise Jesus, we glorify his name. We glorify God. And then we glorify God when we make his name known. Mark it down. If we witness for Christ, and if we stand up for Christian virtues, we're going to have some troubles and trials, and the devil is going to fight us every way we turn. And so it reminds me of the young pastor who had his troubles in the first church he ever had, and how he had. Well, listen to the story. The pastor was called to a rough, tough lumber mill town, and the men upstream would cut logs and float them down the river. And to the mill town. And to identify their log, they would put their mark at the end of the log. And then they'd sort out to whoever owned those logs. One day while passing by, the young pastor notified, and he was horrified, that is, to see some of his men cutting off the end of logs and placing their mark on them. So the following Sunday, he preached a sermon, "Thou shalt not steal." And everyone thought it was a wonderful sermon. They patted him on the back. The next day he went out and he checked his men were still stealing logs. So the following Sunday, he preached a sermon, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." "Great sermon, Pastor," they said. "Oh, boy, that's great." They made him president of the Kiwanis Club. But frustrated beyond words because his men kept stealing the logs. And so he's preached a sermon, "Thou shalt not steal." And he pounded on the pulpit and he shouted as loud as he could. And everybody was thrilled beyond words, so much so they gave him a raise in salary the way he preached. Oh, they loved him. But the men kept cutting off the end of the logs. So the next Sunday, the following Sunday, he preached a sermon entitled, "Thou shalt not cut the ends off of other people's logs." And they ran him out of town. I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you if you're going to stand up for Christ and for Christian principles. It isn't child's play. It isn't a dress parade. It's a red hot battle with the devil. And he's there every way we turn. At last, and as long as we live, the devil's going to try to bring us down. Peer pressure, for instance, is fierce. The gang will try to pull you down to their level where they live. Misery loves company. The world will try to possess us, press us into the mold that will continue all our life. And I think it's hardest for young people during high school years. I know it was for me. And I owe a lot to my beloved pastor, Paul E. Boomer, who helped me through the high school years. He taught us to stand up for Jesus no matter what people thought or said. Stand up for Jesus. He challenged us to wear a little red button pin with the letters Jim. I'm wearing one today. And when the classmates asked us what the letter stood for, we would say, "Jim, Jesus is mine. Is he yours?" Let me tell you, friend, it isn't easy. But you know what? It taught me to stand up for Jesus all my life. And sometimes we have to stand alone. And if you're willing to wear a pin, "Jesus is mine," you write to us. We'll give the address at the end of the sermon. We'll send it free and postpaid if you'll wear it and be a witness for Jesus Christ. But Jesus taught us that we're going to be punished if we follow him. He told us there's going to be persecution. In Matthew 16:24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Didn't Jesus tell us in 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And didn't Jesus tell us in John 15:18, "If the world hate you, know ye, it hated me before it hated you." The world will always be antagonistic toward God and toward the Christian and toward Jesus Christ. And in some parts of the world, Christians are being put to death for confessing Christ. And we pray every week, we pray for a different part of people and brothers and sisters, the persecuted church. We would give up in despair were it not for the glorious words of our Lord. And when we have to face the troubles and trials, don't lose heart, because Jesus tells us in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise God for that. The victory is ours. Yes, we glorify God when we make his name known. And finally, we glorify God when we accept his Son as our Savior. The first time I ever heard the invitation to accept Jesus, I went forward and asked Jesus to come into my heart. The first time I heard it. And you say, how can that be that the first time you ever heard it, you came forward? Well, I was all ready for it because my sainted mother taught me about Jesus from the day I was born. My earliest recollections are my mother, a school teacher, reading Bible stories at bedtime, praying for me, giving me a kiss, and teaching me about the things of the Lord. And consequently, I knew about Jesus. I knew how he loved me. I knew how he died for me on the cross. I knew how he was raised from the dead. I knew how he healed and helped people. I knew about Jesus, but I never asked him to come into my heart. And so that when that Christian Missionary Alliance evangelist, Vernon Egerbrotten, gave the invitation in a schoolhouse at a little worship service, a little evangelistic service. I remember my conversion. I went forward and accepted Jesus the first time I heard it. And I remember my conversion 86 years ago as if it was just last night. 10 years old, clear as a bell to this day, is 96. I didn't hear voices and I didn't see lights and I didn't get goose pimples. I simply prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I promised to forsake all my sins and to follow him in my evil ways and walk with him. And I remember the exact verse of the Bible that evangelist Edgar Broughton opened that penny, put his finger down there. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. And so I accepted Jesus Christ and was born again. And don't you come around and tell me that a child can't accept Jesus Christ. My little daughter, Patty, 5 years old, accepted Jesus. Now she's a grandmother, and she teaches Sunday school, and she teaches the little children and helps them. God bless the children. And we preach so the children can understand. And I read just recently about 5-year-old Emily. She was talking to her mother, and she says, "You know what, Mom? I talked to Jesus on the phone the other day. I asked him to come into my heart." And the mother said, "Oh, that's just wonderful, but how did you know his number?" And Emily said, "I didn't. He called me." And that's what Jesus does. He calls us. He calls the children. He calls the young people. He calls the old people. Just recently, we had a letter from a 90-year-old lady who answered the call and came to Jesus. And we know that that's open to all people because Peter tells us, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance," 2 Peter 3:9. And do you know what? Jesus is calling the whole world to come to him. He is saying, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And let me tell you something else. When we accept Jesus Christ, we are saved forever. You'll never be lost. You absolutely cannot lose your salvation. John 10:28-29 tells us, "I give unto them eternal life." Jesus is talking. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And he says, "My Father, which is greater than all, is greater than all, and able, no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I don't hold on to Jesus. Jesus holds on to me. Praise his blessed name. That wonderful, wonderful Savior. And so we trust this just great Jesus, loving him and serving him. And Phil Johnson puts it in such a beautiful way. He puts it like this: "The eyes of the Lord is upon me. He sees everything I do. The arms of the Lord is around me. He keeps me safe and secure." And then the chorus goes like this: "And although there are times I stepped out of his will, I've never stepped out of his care." God's people, in spite of our failures, we will never be lost. We may break our fellowship with the Lord, but we'll never be lost. That's why St. John tells the Christians, when we confess our sins, he'll forgive us our sins, take them all away. God tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And in Romans 5:20, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Oh, this wonderful Savior. And when we fail and we drift away, we can turn to come and come back to him, and he'll receive us every time. He'll put his arms around me. I failed him many times, and every time I come back, he puts his arms around me and hugs me and keeps me safe. And so the psalmist says, Psalm 103:13-14, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." And so Jesus loves us and freely forgives us. There is a beautiful story in the ancient church, and it talks about how there was a man named, one of the church fathers named Jerome. He was a great theologian and scholar. For one thing, he translated from Greek into Latin. He died in 420 A.D. Near the end of his life, he was living near Bethlehem, translating some of the Bible when he had a dream. In the dream, the Christ child appeared to him, and he was overwhelmed by the appearance of the Christ child. And he felt that, oh, I have to give him something. I have to do something for him. And so he gave him some, went and got some money. And he gave him the, offered him the money and said, here, this is yours. And the Christ child said, I don't want it. And so he went back into the house and he got some of the most valuable possessions he had. And he brought them out and offered to them the Christ child. And the Christ child said, I don't want them either. And then Jerome said, if there is anything in the world that I can give you, tell me what it is. Tell me, what do you want? What do you want me to give you? And Jerome said, he dreamed that the Christ child looked at him and said, give me your sin. Give me your sin. And that's what the angel said. He shall save his people from their sins. And so God is saying, this Christ child is saying, give me your sins. That's what I came for. And so the Christ child grew to manhood. And then in his manhood, he took the sins of the world, all the sins of the world. Isaiah talks about it in Isaiah 53. He says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. He openeth not his mouth. Yes, yes, Jesus took the sins, all the sins of the world. And now today, he speaks to us as he did to Jerome 2,000 years ago. He's calling, give me your sins, give me your sins. That's what he said to me 86 years ago. Give me your sins. And do you know what? I gave Jesus all my sins, all my past sins, all my present sins, and all of my future sins forever and ever. They're all paid for no matter what happens. When he gives us freely, and I will never see them again. The psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse 12. God assures us, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8, 12. And you know what? If you're still in your sins, Jesus is calling you right now like he called me. He's saying, give me your sins. Give me your sins. And you say, yes. Yes, I want to give Jesus my sins. I'm sick of my sins. They're driving me crazy. I want to give them to him, but I don't know how. Let me tell you how. You just in your own words, and you can say it right with me. Dear Jesus, I have sinned against you, and I'm sorry. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I promise to follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Amen. And if you did that, you are saved. You're born again. You're a child of God. You're in the body of Christ. You're the family of God. You're saved forever, and you'll never be lost. No matter what you do, you'll never be lost. It's just like I have a son, two sons. No matter what they do, they're my sons, good or bad. They're my sons. Thank God they're good boys. But when we accept Jesus, we're born into the family of God. And we're his child no matter what happens. Just rest on Jesus. Now, if you've done that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature so that you can get started in the Christian life. Well, no matter where you are on the face of the earth, you write to us and we'll send it back free and postpaid, and it'll give you some steps. And we're going to give you some things that Billy Graham gives to people when they come out and when they accept Jesus. We're going to give you the same packet as if you went to one of his crusades. And you children, if you write, we got a special one just for you. And you write to us there now. And all of you people on the short wave, you can't see the screen, but it's Christian Worship Hour. And it's box 2002. And it's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, if you want to have the little Bible study, 8 Ways to Overcome Discouragement, we'll send you that. And there's a new Bible study. We have a little paper, a new song that we send out, the new song. We send it every month, free and postpaid. And that's Bible studies in that. And if you can send us a gift, just remember this. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And we will be able, they check us on every penny we get and every penny we spend. And we're clean as a hound's tooth and we're proud of it. We're a member, a full member of that council. So we need to hear from you. And so I'm just praying that you'll ask God, is this something that I need to support? Is this something that you want me to get behind? And should I pray? Should I give? Just ask God. And then and say, and God, maybe he'll say yes. Then you say, well, how much? And he'll tell you. So now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes of people all over the world that are open their heart to you, and the multitudes that are coming back to you, those who drifted away and they're coming back and starting over, a new page, a new life. And dear Lord, I just thank you for the children that are listening and the children that are coming. Oh, what a glorious thing. I pray for the young people, Lord, that are having so many troubles and trials, so many temptations. Just bless them and help them. And I pray for the shut-ins and the aged and the people that are having trouble. Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Egypt today. And they're under the gun. There's some of them giving their life. And may they know that they are a blessing to us and encouragement to us. Just encourage them and stand by. We know that you will. And someday we'll see them in heaven and all the troubles will be done. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for being with us today. And thank you for your blessings and thanks for your prayers. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. What more do you want?
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.